since the service started. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 1. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as their children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Give it to us in a message or TPT message. That verse one in. Okay, it says, watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. That's okay. It says, like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. I want to take that sentence this morning, and let's look at our lives as fathers and as mothers. It says, as children learn proper behavior from their parents. It says, we should imitate God. We learn from God. The ultimate of you and I that we can ever be is to be like Christ. That's the ultimate. Paul said in Romans, he says, he wants us to become like Christ, to be conformed to the image of Christ. And one thing that God does is love. The Bible says God is love. Is absolutely love. And he says, watch what God does. What does God do? He loves. He's a loving God. Everything about God is L-O-V-E. Love, love, love. It's goodness, it's mercy. Even when he disciplines, when he rebukes, it's love. It's love. That's the motive. That's his heart. And he says we should watch what he does as parents. So this morning, let's look at how God loves. How God loves us so that we can replicate that in our lives. The best thing that your children, your grandchildren, every child that comes around you or that is in your life, the best thing they can say about you that God reckons with is that you're a loving person. That you are a loving person. That's the best thing. That's the best compliment. That your children, children in your life, your grandchildren, best thing they can say about you is that you are a lovely person, that you're a loving person, that you're a loving person. That everything that does or mom does is out of love. That mom is loving, mom is, you know, that's the best compliment that anyone, any of our children or grandchildren can say about us. Thank God we send them to school. We send them to school because we love them. We want them to be educated. We give to them. We clothe them. We feed them. We do so many things. But the love, the motivation should be also seen that it's because I love you. Not for myself. Not because of my integrity. Thank God for your integrity. Not because of my name. Thank God for your name. Thank God for your name. I used to hear such things, you know, growing up. Fathers that would be so hard and harsh. You know. Yeah. No child should spoil your name. But if all that you are after as a father is my name, my name, my name. You want to spoil my integrity in this town. This and that and that. You must do this. You must do that. You must study a particular course. I was talking with someone recently. He said, I want that my child to do a particular course. I said, why? He said, I just like it. Yes, ma. He said, I like that course. But does he like it or does she like it? He said, not really. So the first one, say, I'm not doing. But she still wanted, You know, that such things happen to all of us. I've heard about families where they say, I'm a lawyer. Everybody must be a lawyer. When my husband was in medical school, he saw so many of his classmates that were just in school because of their father and their mother. Hey, my father wanted me to be a doctor, so I will get the certificates, give it to him, then I'll go and do what I want. Praise God. Thank God we all have such desires. Oh, my child should be this, my child should be that, my child should... You know, it even boils down to the area of marriage. Why would some parents say, my child must not marry from Ijebu? I don't know what Ijebu people have done for everybody all over the world. I don't know, but we are loving people, generous people, kind. We sacrifice, we labor. So there are so many Ijebus in the house. Wow. Praise God. I don't know why. Even my father-in-law, he didn't want my husband to marry me. No, not me in particular, but he had warned his children. Nobody should marry Ijebu. But I didn't have any problem with him, and he never had any problem with me. Sometimes when we generalize, we miss a lot of things. When you say, we will not marry Ibo because you had bad experience with one Ibo family, then all Ibos are bad. We don't even talk so much about Awusa in Yoruba land. But it's usually Igbo. And somehow, the child keeps, you know, his path keeps getting. And he's like, no, I don't. There are so many things like we do like that. If the motivation, yes, we have our preferences, we have our likes, we have our dislikes, and all of that as parents. And sometimes we see ahead. We can see. There are certain things that you see that you can't explain. You can't fully talk about or express as a parent because of your years of experience and all of that. But then, becoming a forceful person and telling your children, this is what you are going to do because I said that. God does not do like that. God does not behave like that. If you read your Bible, sometimes when I read some of those prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, I wonder about God. I say, what kind of God is this? He will come down and start negotiating and start talking, pleading, come. I'm like, God, what kind? He's unlike other gods of the nations. Is it that you bow? Or you born? Is it that you follow what I say or you are gone for it? But God is so loving. So God is so gracious. He's so gracious. He's so loving. Psalm 103. Let's look about God this morning and learn some things that will impact our lives as we parent children all around us, as we influence the coming generations after us. Look at verse 8. Psalm 103, verse 8. It said, the Lord is merciful and gracious. The Lord is what? Merciful. The word merciful means it's full of mercy. Full of mercy. Full of mercy. Full of mercy. And it's also gracious. Give us NLT. God is merciful and gracious. You see, Lord, the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Compassionate. To be compassionate means to be able to put yourself, try to imagine what other people are going through. To have compassion, to allow compassion, the love of God to flow from your heart to people. Bible talks about not shutting down your bowels of mercy. God does not shut down his bowels of mercy. He's always merciful. That is, he doesn't give us what we deserve all the time. The punishments for our mistakes. He doesn't give us what we deserve. Bible says, if God should count iniquity, nobody will stand. And the same thing, parenting our children. If you want to look at their mistakes, their faults, especially the older ones. You know, when they are young, they step on your toes. When they are older, they step on your heart. When they are young. So sometimes when I see children, I mean mothers, young mothers, and they are like this, I say, the real issues are still ahead. The real issues are still ahead. They step on your toes, you are running around, don't do this, don't do that. But by the time they are older, they step on your heart, they do things that would amaze you. Did I raise you like this? What did I, you know, all kinds of things. But Bible says God is compassionate and is merciful. And that's what God, what we can imitate from our Father, that we are merciful. We overlook, we go beyond the faults, the weakness, the shortcomings. You know what children do now? One father said to us in pastor's room, he said, I got a call from somewhere, from somebody, and said, your son has taken a loan of so and so. He said, my son, loan. How come? You know? And that's one of the things rampant around us today. On their phone, they have all kinds of loan apps. So they will take this loan. They can't pay. They take another loan from another app to pay for that one. And I've heard about cases of somebody getting loans from 10 apps, 20 apps, different apps, running to hundreds of thousands. And they now start calling their parents, calling their friends. Okay, as a mother, as a father, what will you do in that situation? The man said, he answered that call and said, okay, my son took that loan. No problem. Yoruba will say that we first of all deal with something. We'll pursue a hand. We now deal. He paid off that loan. And sat his son down. I mean, this is a son of 20-something years, not 13, 14. Sat him down, and they now had serious discussion about what had happened. That's been merciful. That's been compassionate. And when somebody say, for me, I would not have paid that loan. He would have. But does he have the capacity to do it? If he had the capacity to pay the loan, he will have paid it. You wouldn't have even known about it. And can I say this? There are a whole lot of things that our children will do that we will never be aware of, except the Lord allows you to know. Do you know that? How many things, how many of your misdeeds were your parents aware of? Even right under their nose, we lied, we cheated, we did a whole lot of things. Like one time, my mother-in-law came to the house. I was not there. They were having a conversation, and my husband said, Mama said, the way I brought you up, the way God helped me, my husband said, he laughed. It's not just because of your doings. It's because of the Lord. It's not because of the training. I mean, you know, don't do this, do that, example. Thank God for all that we will do. But beyond that, God trains. He works on each and every one of us. And he keeps working on us. And that's why his compassion is shown. That he will not give us just what we deserve. So when your children don't deserve your forgiveness, you go ahead and give it. When they don't deserve your kindness, that's being compassionate and being like the Father God. He said, the Lord is compassionate and merciful. He says, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. Slow to get angry. He says, slow to get angry. That means he gets angry. He gets angry. But Bible says his anger is for a moment. His anger does not go from January to December. That's what it means.
and you are angry, and you are angry as a father or as a mother, and everybody is begging you, everybody is calling this, eh, motisha mommy, motisha daddy, eba mi be, you are harder man. No. That's un-Christianly. That's unlike God the Father. So it's slow to get angry. That means it's not, I think it's Message Bible. Give us that in Message Bible. Okay, maybe TPT, not easily angered. There's one that says something very interesting. Okay, you are so kind, and those are so patient, we will fail you. Maybe it's AMPC. There's a particular one that says, God does not go around trying to get our faults and mistakes. So he's not looking to nitpick on us. All right, I can't get it now. But it's like, it's not, you know, slow to get angry. Slow to get angry. You know, is a mark of maturity when you sometimes even overlook offense as another person. That's what Solomon said. It's a mark of maturity, a mark of a loving person when you overlook offense. When you don't talk every time about this one, that one, slow together. So, by the time you actually get angry, the person knows that, oh, I have gone overboard. I have actually messed up. But when you get angry, this one, get angry. You didn't call me. You don't do this. You don't, and you are angry, and you are showing it. And you know, when we get angry, we talk. Some of us, especially mothers, we can talk. Ha, what kind of a child are you? And we need to be very careful even when we get angry. It says slow. James chapter 1 says something. It says, be slow. Let every man be slow. Be quick to hear. Be slow to speak. And slow to get angry. James chapter 1, is it verse 19? Say, let every man, that's becoming like God. Okay, 19. It says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, or slow to get angry. We should aim at that, because that's like God, and that's love in display. So to our children, to our grandchildren, let it not be that, and you know, these children, they talk behind us. Hello. Whether you like it or not, didn't you do that behind your, we did the same thing. Agbawabura. Sometimes when I hear them talk, even about me, they even talk and mention me. They mention my name. There's a way they call me. You know, they say, Sister Mikemi. Yes, Auntie Kemi. A part of me was like, shame in all. But it's among them. It's just a chance that I got to know how they talk. But of course, they are never rude. They are never rude. But I think it's just a way among them of talking about their mom. Amen. Psalm 103. Let's go back. We're learning how to love from God in parenting our children. He says, verse 9. He will not always strive with us. Will he keep his anger forever? He will not always strive with us. He will not always be fighting with us. So there's no room for Christian parents fighting, forever fighting. No, I can never forgive you. No, that's unlike God. You have offended me. You know? Say, he will not always strive with us, fighting with us. Nor will he keep his anger forever. If he keeps his anger forever, we will be gone. And that's the truth. If you keep your anger forever over your children, your grandchildren, you're going to allow the enemy to come in full time. He's always looking for a chance to enter families, to enter homes, so that he can wreak havoc. Bible says, he that breaks the hedge, the serpent will bite. And there's no other way to break the hedge as believers than to act in unforgiveness. To keep offenses for life, forever. No. No, no. Say, he will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. So whatever, it may not even be your own children, maybe their husbands or their wives. Don't keep the anger forever. Don't keep it. For your sake and for the sake of those children and the grandchildren. Because God will not do that. So we should not do that. Verse 10. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. That is, the punishment is never always equal to what we have done. The punishment is not always. With me, sometimes God punishes. God gives judgments. He rebukes. He disciplines. But it's never always, equal to what we have done. So don't do that too as a father, as a mother. You know, and some of those things that we do, the children will remember for life. One of the things that my mom told me, she lived with her aunt. And she said one day she was sent on an errand to go and buy garri. And while she was coming back, the garri poured down. You know, garri and sand, they are a good combination. So she said in her innocence and, she packed. She tried to pack, the topmost in a separate way and packed those ones. Do you know what her auntie said? That one that has stone, until you finish it in this house, you will not eat anything else. And he said, and her aunt will prepare from the good one for herself and her children. And she was left to eat that one until it finished in the house. That's giving punishment according to the sin. That's punishing according to the sin. That happened, I can't remember how many years, but he's talked to her. He's talked to her. And it would have been another thing if all of them were eating the garri together. The bad one. Say, okay, we cannot waste it. We will eat it together. But she was left to eat it alone. And say, oh my fig money. Sometimes it can be something else. And you know, some of these children that we handle, we don't know how and who would respond negatively. There are some of them that you can do such a thing to, it does not affect. It will just, rationalize it and go on. But for some, it will put a dent on their life that's for life. For life. They will just be going through that trauma. It's like, how could they? How could she have done that for me? If my mother was alive, would she have done that? And that could cause regrets in such a person. So you don't know how people will turn out. So, but the best way is to go in the loving way. That's the best thing. That's the best thing. You know, sometimes we think that when we are loving, when we are kind, merciful, and we don't give punishments, we are being, they're going to take us for granted. That's the fear. That's, I must let that child know the enormity of what he has done. Or that son-in-law, that's daughter-in-law. And you want to avenge all your anger and Bible says love never fails. Love never fails. Sometimes when you withhold punishment, when you restrain from saying what you think you should have said, you allow God, you allow love. God knows how to step in and to sort things out. But when we think that, oh, I must say, I must talk, you know. And let me say this for us, especially for those of us that we have children that are married. Let's be careful. Let's be careful. Don't get too nosy. I'll use that word. About your children's marriages. Don't interfere too much. Don't do baromiro. This is very critical. I've seen cases where mothers and fathers will say, this and that, and that, and that. Only for your daughter to go and let me make you laugh. One of my relatives, when we're young, they just discovered that she was pregnant. She was pregnant in the house and blah, 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 blah. You know, what fathers would do then. Called the mother and slashed the mother and drew all that. Then the girl ran out. Went to her husband's house. Then she had the baby there. 2 days after she delivered, they came to our house, come and tell our daddy. And he got offended, sent them out, said all kinds of things, abused them. So they left. By the time that child was like 2 years, they called the mother back to the house. Drop their son for them and come back to this house, blah, blah, blah. So she came back. And after a year, got pregnant for the guy again. Right under their nose. Got pregnant for the guy again. So she left again. Praise God. He has not dealt with us according to our sin, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Next verse. He says, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. So magnanimous. He says, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Pity. To look at them, look at their frame, look at what they're going through. One of the problems in our nation today is the fact that this coming generation, it's like they don't know what to do. It's like no vision, no motivation. Things are hard. Things are difficult. You go to school, it's not the best situation, not the best environment, even in private schools. Private schools are not exempted. So just because we have put them in private schools does not mean they have put them in paradise. They have their own issues that they go through. So we must get concerned about their lives and show concern. It's not enough to say, oh, I pay so much for you to go to school. I've done so much for you to go to school. And it's left at that. No. It says, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Let's have pity on our children. You know, some people say, I had it so hard. My father never had a vehicle to take me to school. I never went to school in vehicles. And you know what a child told his father? It's because your grandpa didn't have a car. Now you have a car. Take me to school. You know that some people feel that because of what I went through, my children must have their own share of that harsh treatment, that suffering. And you think that's training. It's as a father pities. Let's pity our children. Let's have pity on our children. Fathers, get involved in the lives of your children. Please, children and grandchildren, write them. Talk to them. Send them text messages of encouraging. First Thessalonians chapter 2. First Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse 7. He says, we were gentle among you just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. That's what mothers say, cherishing her own children, caring, gentle, cherishing will our children feel that we cherish them, that they are important to us? Do they feel it? Do they understand it? That my parents don't joke with me. My mother is always. I was in a meeting one time that a mother spoke up and said, she started talking about, it was like a testimony that my child accused me of being a witch. My child did this, my child did that. I said, what happened? But she now said, I also had my own mistake. That child left Abeokuta to go to Ilorin. Was it Ilorin or Kaba? And for like 4 years, the parents didn't know where she lived. They never visited her. They didn't know her whereabouts for those 4 years. And that girl was not coming to Abeokuta often. I said, that's serious. Yes, I know the distance is much. But for you not to know the whereabouts of a girl child, for that matter, only God knows where that girl was going, the church or wherever she was going, where she got indoctrinated. He said, I got to her school. My daughter was shouting and screaming. I said, don't come near me. Don't. And we may even think it's indoctrination, but maybe she felt so neglected, so abandoned. And she was like, how could? So please, let's cherish our children. Call them. Speak to them. Those ones that are sitting in the house, let them know. Especially fathers, towards the children. Everybody, children usually gather around mothers. But fathers are like, don't touch. Fathers don't show affection. Do they? I know you are different. I know you are different. Amen. I say, I know you are different. And the difference is coming forth in the name of Jesus. How many of us fathers, we hug our children? We hug. Come, sit down. Oh boy, high five. Such things. And you play with them. If you have not been doing it, they will be scared, first of all. But please continue, if you have not been doing it, to cherish, sit down, talk, gist with your children. That's part of cherishing. That's part of caring. That's part of encouraging them to know that, so daddy can play with us. If daddy comes in, everybody goes out. When daddy goes out, there's some air of relief that we used to have when daddy goes out. But it shouldn't be with our children. It shouldn't be. You didn't like it, did you? You wanted a closer, a more intimate relationship with your parents. So please provide that now for them. Provide that. Look at verse 11 of that same verse. He says, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. Look at those words. To exhort, to comfort, and to charge. To exhort, that is to teach, to admonish. We think that when we talk once, they have heard it. No. We say it again and again in a loving way. You reiterate. You let them know the reason why you are asking them to do this. I want you to settle down and marry. Why, Dad? I don't have time. Then you talk. You exhort. You encourage. You comfort. Don't say, I've said it once. So that's life. That's what I said to one of our children when she was just like 8. I was so frustrated. Somebody sent me a text during the week, said, my child has just become a teenager. And he's like, I don't want to lose her. Please, ma, what can I do? I said, welcome to... I can't remember what she did. We were in the kitchen. I was so upset. I said, well, you know, that's what I heard my mom saying anyway when I was growing up. I just laughed. I said, please, whatever you want to do, it's your life. And I heard God. Yeah, really? He's alive. At 8, what will you do when she's 13, 15? What will you do when she's adult? He's alive. Oh, okay. So it does not concern you. And one of the things I tried to do then, she was close to one of the scenes teacher. So I went to that one. I said, I noticed that so and so is close to you. She's feeling relaxed. Please help me talk to her. Do you know what she said to me? Ma, it's your responsibility. Yes. The teen teacher told me, said, please, ma, you have to know her. You have to get close to her. Don't think that in a respectful way. But he's talked to me. I said, oh boy, nobody is going to do this for me. Some people just think, okay, the school, the church, but what we do with them sometimes negates what they hear in church. We don't have time to talk about that. Some of those kids in since church, if you know what they tell their teachers, my daddy is this. There was a time somebody even said, my daddy does not give tithe and offering. Yes. And my daddy would tell my mommy that, what's tithe for? What? And they are teaching them. Am I right, Swan? And they are teaching them to give, to be faithful to God. He said, my daddy does. So they are watching. They are listening. They are seeing what we do. He says, as a father, to exhort, to comfort, to charge every one of you. That's our job. And it doesn't stop when they leave our house. Once you're a father, you're a father for life. You're a mother for life. A mother, just not your own biological children. Even children around you that will come into your life to exalt. When they come around us, let it be a time of exaltation, a time of lifting them up, a time of comforting them, to walk around them. One of our kids, you know, in church recently, I got to know that one of our results was delayed. I called her. I spoke with the parents, and I called her. I said, look, don't worry. I had to just encourage. She left me smiling that day. I said, don't worry. God is going to help you. Don't think about that. Are you feeling down? He said, somehow. I said, don't worry. You're going to make it. I told her, you know, in life, there's no straight road. No straight path. Sometimes you go this way, go that way. And she was nodding her head. That's encouragement. That's comforting. Especially when it comes from people that you don't expect. And you that you are very serious, but when you take time to just sit down and just talk and encourage, don't worry, God is going to help you. God has helped us. He's going to help you and comfort and strengthen them and help them. You know, some of these kids, some of these people, all they need is just a little push, a little encouragement. Okay, you want to pay your house rent? How much do you have? Okay, you have this. Okay, I will add this to it. It's not because you cannot sit down and say, be responsible. But that's some encouragement. My granddaughter was going to go to school, a private school. And my husband said, he sent them money. A part of it was, you know, sending money from Nigeria to... He said, no. Bible says, a good man lives in inheritance for his children's children. That's the mentality we must begin to pick up. Say, a good man lives what? Inheritance for his children. He said, so if I'm going to live in inheritance for my children's children, let me start now. It may not be as much, but that was some encouragement to the parents to know that, okay, grandpa and grandma, they have not left us to ourselves. It can be small, but it goes a long way to encourage our children. God will help us in the name of Jesus. A lot of people have regrets in their old age, how they have handled their children in time past. But it's never too late. It's never too late for you to change. It's never too late for you to retrace yourself and to become a loving person, a loving father, a loving mother. It's never too late to call them and say, you know what? I am sorry. I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. Please forgive me. It's never too late. You'll be making a bigger mark, a bigger impression on them than saying, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, I did that. I don't. But it has not been erased. It has not. You are not. True repentance means for you to be able to. You have changed your mind, then change your ways and restitute and bring back the relationship. And for people who are single mothers or single or widows, please. Sometimes you may have to just juggle everything together to be like a father and a mother. Yeah. To be like a father and a mother. Because nobody will actually do it for you. Except you have loving people around you who have the same mindset. Who have the same mindset. So you have to behave like a father, behave like a mother. God will help us. And if you have loving people around you that can help you be a father figure, please take advantage of it. Don't hide yourself. Don't overprotect that child. Especially when you know things are going wrong or you have issues. Let people who can come in and help allow them. When my father died, I had two people like that. My mom had two people like that. One was in Ibadan. Then my uncle in Lagos. And that Baba, Adesoya, elderly man, was my father's superior in the business they were doing there. So my mom submitted, so to say, to her. And that Baba, as busy as he was, he had two or three wives, had so many children, but he would still create time. I remember the first time I needed glasses in secondary school. This Baba went with me to an optician. Followed me down to the optician's office. I picked. That's been, and for some of us, we may have to do that for children around us. It's not only our children. Especially for those of us that we are empty nesters. Our children are out. But there are still children all over us. All around us. All over the place. And around us. Let's pick up this attitude to be an example and a good example of that to children around us. And when I say children, young adults, teenagers, and show the love of Christ. It says, as God loves, that's what God does, and that's what he wants us to do. And God is going to help us in the name of Jesus. And one of the best things that you can do for your children is to pray for them. One of the things that you can do and always keep doing is to keep praying. When there's no trouble, pray. When there's trouble, pray. Don't say, they are doing well, and you relax. No, pray. They're going to get married. Start praying for their sons, your sons-in-law, and your daughters-in-law to be. Start praying. The children they are going to have, start praying. You don't wait till that time. So just begin to commit them into God. My children will marry right. You will direct their steps. They will find their own bones. Let's start to do that now. They'll be well settled in life. And there are scriptures all over the Bible that you can hold on to. I would say the seed of the righteous shall be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Those are the things that we pray. We pray ahead and just speak forth into their future. And I learned from one man of God. He said, whenever the thoughts of his children will come to his mind. He will just say, Lord, I surround them with faith and love. I surround them with faith and love. I surround them with faith and love. And of course, his children turn out well, good. He said, I surround them. You will not always be around them, but God is always around them. And we can always speak forth the word and release the word. I want us to just pray at this moment. Pray. I want you to pray for yourself. Thank God for your children. Thank God for your grandchildren. Thank God for all the children in your life. Maybe your nephews, your nieces. Just thank God. That person that you have taken up to help, that is living with you, living around you. I want you to just thank God. Thank God for all the children in our lives this morning. Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, I give you praise. Mention them by name and say, Father, I just want to thank you for these children. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for their children. Thank you, Lord, for their husbands. Lord, I give you praise. I worship you. I want you to pray for yourself. Hey, Father, thank you because you will help me to be like you to my children. A loving father, a loving mother. A loving father, a loving mother, in the name of the Lord Jesus. God, I want to be like you. I want to be like you, to show love, to showcase who you are to my children and to my grandchildren, to my children and grandchildren, even to come to their spouses, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that I will be an example, a model of a loving believer to these children, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Help me. Is there any issue pending, you know, concerning any of these children? I want you to commit it to God's hand. I say, just tell God what you want. Tell God what you need. Remember, you are just even a caretaker. God is the owner of these children. He owns them. Bible says, God, children are God's heritage. They are God's heritage. You are just a caretaker. And I want you to just talk to God. Say, God, this is your heritage. I want you to touch his heart. I want you to touch her heart. This is what I want. I want you to just commit those issues and just speak forth and say, Father, thank you for your will, for your purpose being established in the lives of these children, in the life of these children, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I want you to just bless them where they are. Speak forth the blessing of God over their lives in the name of Jesus. Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes rich and has no sorrow. Say, Father, thank you because my children, they are being enriched in quality, in quantity, in every aspect of their lives, in the name of Jesus, spiritually, physically, material, in their career, in their businesses, in their education, they are being enriched. And they will continue to be enriched in the name of the Lord Jesus. They will know you the more and walk with you the more. They will live a life that will be well-pleasing unto you. They'll be continually fruitful in every good work, sir, in the name of Jesus. Can you take authority over Satan? This morning, I said, Satan, touch not my children. Oh, I said, touch not. You cannot have my children. Touch not my children. Hurt not my children. Afflict not my children. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I address you this morning. I say, I take authority over you in any way, in every form, spiritually, physically, financially, in a career, in a business, in their homes. I say no to you. We give you no place. I give you no place concerning my children. They will be taught, continually taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. Great shall be their peace. Thank you, Lord, because they will be established in righteousness and far from every oppression. No weapon fashioned against my children will prosper in the name of the Lord Jesus. Every weapon, I call you wasted. I declare you wasted concerning my children and grandchildren in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because they are increasing in wisdom. They are increasing in stature, in favor with God and with men in the name of Jesus. And I want you to pray for yourself. Say, I have not brought forth for trouble. I will not labor in vain. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I'm going to see these children prosper and do well in my lifetime. My life will not be cut short. I will not labor for another to inherit, in the name of the Lord Jesus. In my lifetime, if the Lord tarries, my children will do well. They will marry well. They will have their children. Their businesses will prosper in the name of Jesus. They will bring glory to the name of the Lord in my lifetime.
I will see my children's children. Bible says that's the reward of a righteous man. He says, you shall see your children's children. I want you to accept that this morning. Say, Father, thank you for what you have done thus far. Thank you for what you continue to do. Thank you, Father, because your promises are coming to pass in my life. And I give you praise. Lift up your hands and just bless him this morning. Just give him thanks. Give him praise. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for all our children. For every child represented in Rock Foundation Church. Oh, thank you, Father, for every child represented in Rock Foundation Church. Thank you, Father, for every child, every grandchild represented in Rock Foundation Church. Thank you, Father, because they are for your glory. They're for your glory. They're for your glory. They are arising and shining even in this evil generation. Thank you, Father, for all our children, wherever they may be at this moment. Thank you, Father, because they are lights in their world and they are shining, and the kingdom of hell cannot overtake them. We give you praise, Father.